This is my wife's teaching. It's in this month's issue of Chapter and Verse, January 2016. I saw this a week or two ago, and I told her that I thought it was one of the finest articles that I've ever read. And at that point, I had considered teaching it. And I went about my own business with to continue with our PowerPoint presentation, but this is what you need to hear this morning. It's entitled, Give It All to Him. And she begins on the first page by saying, as we approach the beginning of the new year, I can't help but wonder what the new year will hold. Perhaps some might consider making resolutions to help stay committed to a diet, or giving it your all at work, or reading the Word of God more, praying more, etc. I've been thinking about garbage. Yes, that's right, garbage. In the summer of 1986, Philadelphia had a major municipal strike that affected the trash collection. Trash just kept on piling up. The surrounding states refused to take it, and that's when a ship called the Pelicano stepped in. The owners thought that they could turn a quick profit by transporting the garbage. The trash was burned and dumped into the bottom of the ship. At first, no one would take it, but eventually it grew too old, and who wants potentially toxic trash? It seems that trash-filled ships find few friends. Trash-filled hearts don't make out much better. Emotional trash, mental trash, and spiritual trash. This is what I wanted to talk to you about this morning. Because once that trash got dumped into that ship, it was there with the intention of being unladen somewhere else. But it sat and it sat and it sat. And when trash sits, you know what it does? It festers. Even though it was burnt, you didn't burn it all up. And that's what happens to us in our lives. When we carry about trash in our lives, when we carry about old hurts, discouragements, failures, grudges, this sort of thing, it just festers and festers and festers, and it gets worse and worse, and it becomes toxic. You know, there was a book I studied many years ago when I taught God's divine healing called Toxic Emotions. And it showed how that your emotions can literally become toxic and affect your body. And how you think is directly related to how your body responds to your health. A lot of times people that are sickly over and over again have bad things going on in their minds. And you can go to the best doctors in the world, and if they can't find an organic cause for your problem, you know, they scratch their head and they just guess. That's what happens. A lot of times a cause for a sickness and disease is inside of your heart. It's the things that you carry around. And then they become worse and worse and they affect everything. She goes on to write, I don't know about you, but I've had better years in 2015. Yet I seem to be holding on to some things that need to be discarded. In looking back to where I first accepted and met my Lord and Savior Jesus, I had hope in my steps, a plan and a map to get me there and where I needed to be. Okay? Can you remember back to the first time that it dawned on you who Jesus Christ was and you accepted him and how excited you were? One of the things about my wife, that she was known in the body of Christ ever since she got into the Word, was that she was happy. She was just, she wasn't a great biblical anything. She was just a happy person. She always smiled. She always had a cheerful heart. And people would just always say that. You're always happy, always cheerful. Jimmy Guarini's the same way. I never seen that guy sad. He's always got a happy face. Now, I don't know what he's doing to get it. Maybe I ought to ask him for some of them pills. But he's always every time I see Jimmy. And, you know, there's, who is it in the Bible called Son of Consolation? Barnabas, was it? There's people that are just, they bless you when you're around them. But that's the way Kim always was and still is. But sometimes we forget who we were when we met Jesus and what we became after we accepted him. You know, I mean, shoot, for me, I had no responsibility. It was fellowship 7 nights a week, whether we were at a diner, you know, or I would, what they would call, hop. I would just go to different fellowship. Not because I just loved to hear the word of God. Wasn't that I was trying to do anything other than just, I just love to be with people and hear the word of God. And, you know, it was class after class after, and it was just a great time. And if you came into my little apartment, it was just a little efficiency, but as soon as you walked in, my table was full of books. At that time, it was cassettes. We had a cassette recorder on my table, and I would just study and study and study. Because I was never good at anything academically. I was very poor academically, but when I heard the word, I just loved the word of God, and I made myself good at it. I just studied and studied and studied and listened because I was drawn to it. The Pelicano traveled to several ports, as many as a dozen, in fact, and each time it got there, it was turned away. Along with its travels, it's changed its name a few times. Mm-hmm. We're not the Pelicano. We're the Royal Caribbean. That's not junk in our hull down below, really. Here's the thing. Look, you can change on the outside. You can even change your name. You can even say things that aren't true. But that doesn't change what's on the inside. Although the Pelicano changed its name, it was still full of toxic waste. And them guys knew it. It still carried the same trash. Changing the name didn't make the trash disappear. It sailed aimlessly for 14 years. Yeah. Just carrying trash in the ocean for 14 years because nobody wanted it. In April 2000... you guys would recognize this business. Waste Management Incorporated loaded 25,000 tons or 2,500 tons of ash and contaminated soil to a barge, the Santa Lucia, and shipped it to Florida, where that barge was docked in the Santa Lucia Canal. There it stayed for up to 2 years until June 2002, when it was moved to Mountain View to reclamation landfill in Franklin County in GOP, good old Pennsylvania, near Antrim Township. After several government agencies, including the EPA, had found the contents and classified it as non-hazardous waste. Sometimes over the years, we had gotten off track to the point where we hardly recognize who we become. You ever get there? You know? Who am I? I say that about my children sometimes. Who are you and what have you done with my children? If you don't stay in check, little by little, by little, by little, you just drift away. You know, there was a movie I watched within the last year about this boat that came loose, and it just drifted away till it was in the middle of, I don't know what sea. And the story went on from there. Sometimes over the years, we have gotten so far off track to the point that we hardly recognize who we have become. We are so far from where we first accepted our Lord Jesus, we don't recognize the weight that we have gained over the years. And she's talking about the weight in your hull, the trash that you store, the hurt and the garbage that you carry around in life. Years ago, we used to have this little saying, we called it travel light. If you want to travel far, you got to travel light. And you have to be able to offload your trash daily if you're going to travel light. If you got stuff bothering you, if you don't offload it daily, it's just going to pile up and pile up and pile up. And every one of you in this room have lived long enough to know what I'm talking about. And then that stuff just starts to fester. And where there's trash, there's going to be spiritual rats. That's where they're going to start gathering to. They're going to gather. One of the ways a spiritual rat will come around is that they will sniff out a food source. And they love garbage. And if you got garbage and you keep it long enough, it's only going to be a matter of time where you're going to start to be pestered by spiritual rats. And if you don't take care of it, eventually them rats will just make a little old house there, lean to it, and make themselves at home. The subtle things, like how a past hurt from a parent or an old school chum or a failed relationship has lingered. A comment someone made to you, or how someone angered you or shoved you so far down that it makes you ready to blow your stack at any time. Perhaps it was the loss of a loved one. Have you ever been betrayed or lonely? Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4, I'll read to you out of the New Living Translation. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud. Love is not rude. Love does not demand its own way. Love is not irritable. And it keeps no record of when it's been wronged. Love keeps no record of when it's been wronged. If you're a married couple, you should take that and put it on your mirror in the bathroom for the girls and the refrigerator for the guys. Because that's where they will go. Love keeps no record of when it's been wronged. The troubles for the Pelicanos started when they accepted the first shovel full of trash. They should have turned it away at the gate. We should also turn away from emotional and spiritual situations we allow to rule our lives. Why would we want to accept that garbage and drift aimlessly at times through our lives? That's not accepting what the Lord Jesus Christ offered to us in salvation. You know, the devil has a plate over here. Hey, did you guys see some of the worms on my driveway outside walking in? We got all kinds of night crawlers out there. Because, you know, when it rains, they come to the surface because there's too much water. When the devil has a plate and he puts all those delectable little creatures on it, and the Lord Jesus Christ plates us up something over here, and you know how dumb we are sometimes? We go after the gummy worms that aren't gummy. They're for real. And we take what he gives us. Now, why in the world would you want to take that junk into your life? You got to be, I don't know, there's not a nice word that I could say to describe it in a G-rated sermon, right? It's bad. When we search diligently through our trash, we will be able to see what we have opened ourselves up to. What's in your trash bag? What do you need to throw out so that you can be made free to serve him with everything you have? What's holding you back? What's stopping you from moving ahead? Do you know that God sees our burdens? He knows what's in our hearts. We can't hide it from Him. You can hide from me, we can hide from each other, but you can't hide it from God. He knows what's inside of you. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13 says, nothing in all creation can hide from Him. Everything is naked and exposed before His eyes. This is the God to whom we must explain all that we have done. Matthew chapter 12, verse 36 says, and I tell you this, that you must give an account on judgment day of every idle word you speak. We will be bearing all come the judgment day. Why not lighten your load before then? This is a good thing, right? Matthew 11:28, Jesus said, come to me, all you that are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. You ever feel like the world's got to you sometimes and you're all loaded down and you just want to crash? Jesus is there, and He says, come unto me, those of you carrying those burdens, and I'll give you rest. That's R-E-S-T, my daughter's favorite four-letter word, rest. She could rest forever. She loves to rest. When we decide to give our garbage bags to God and learn His word, He will take our trash far away and never give it back. What's it say in there? He cast as far as the east is from the west, and as deep as the deepest sea, doesn't remember Him anymore. As we apply the principles of the word in our lives, we will begin to feel lighter and more free. The Bible in basic English reads of John 8:32, and you will have the knowledge of what is true, and that will make you free. That'll make you free. And I've explained to you a lot of times before, there's a difference between being set free and being made free. Someone who is set free can be captured and imprisoned again. But someone who is made free has the legal document that can be held up when they go to being captured against you. You can't touch me. I'm a free man. See? Admitting that we have trash in our lives is the first step towards disposing it. You know, to say that you're this and you're that and you're perfect and whatever, that's a lie. You gotta fess up. And you don't have to do it in front of a crowd. Could you do it in front of a crowd? Yes. Where you have to do it is you have to do it in your heart in front of God. Now you can do that in the toilet, on the toilet. Put the trash in the toilet. We should have had the PowerPoint, huh? I had good pictures. You could do it in your bedroom. You could do it in a closet. You could do it on your way to work. You can do it in your car. You can do it anywhere. It's not a matter of where you do it. It's a matter of how you do it with the Father, as long as your heart's involved. And the first step to getting rid of that trash is to admit it. And that's the first step to disposing it. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, again, the Bible in basic English says, if we say openly we have done wrong, He is upright and true to His word, giving us forgiveness of sins and making us clean from all evil. Just tell Him. You don't have because you don't ask. See? Go to the Father. Jesus Christ tells us in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, the New Living reads, give all your worries and cares to God, for He cares about what happens to you. You got worries you came in this morning with. You have cares on your heart you came in this morning with. Give them to the Father. You don't have to leave here with that garbage. You understand? You can drop them at the feet of Jesus Christ, give them to God in the name of Jesus Christ, and leave here free. Leave here light. leave here with a spring in your step, knowing who died for you and what he made available to give you. Don't take the devil's plate. Take what Jesus is plating up for us and enjoy it. He's the bread of life. God wants us to bring the things that weigh us down, things that we have been carrying around for years or for even days. The length of time doesn't matter. What matters is that we bring them to him and we let them go. The weight of our sins, our failures, our worries is too much for one person to carry alone. Jesus wants every sin, every sickness. He paid for them. Give them to him so that you can live free and serve our God. Maybe next time you pray, you could pray something like this. Dear God, I have been carrying around this garbage, this bag full of shame, worry, pain, resentment, this bag full of anger, failure, etc., for so long. Forgive me. And then you forgive those who may have added to this bag. Let God know that you're confessing those things as sin, and you're renouncing the adversary in your life. Thank him for taking them from you and filling you with his peace. Then bless those that have offended you. I promise you that if you will do this, you will certainly travel much lighter and be more free to serve God the way that God intended you to serve. And then at the end of her article, she's got Jesus driving a trash truck and this little guy walking by with a bag. You need a lift. And that's what we got to do. We got to give our trash to the Lord Jesus Christ. So my exhortation to you this morning is that if you got junk going on in your life, if you got stuff you're carrying around, you don't need to do that. Recognize it's wrong. Get it straight with the Father. Do it before you leave here, or do it when you walk outside to smoke your cigarette or get into your car. But you don't need to carry that stuff around. Jesus died for us so that we could live a life that's more than abundant. And you're going to face failures. You're going to face disappointments. You're going to face sickness, disease, and death in life. I have faced them. We all have faced them. But I'm here to tell you that you can overcome them as we cast our cares upon him, knowing that he cares for us. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your wonderful word. We thank you for your love, your goodness, and your grace. And we thank you, Father, for each person. I bring them to you right now, Father, each person in this room. And I ask, Father, that you'd reach down and you touch their hearts, and that they would give you permission to take away what doesn't belong there, to take away pain and hurt and disappointment, to take away discouragement, to take away unfaithfulness, to take away failure, to take away poor self-esteem, to take away pride, to take away doubt, worry, and fear, Father, and anything else that would hinder them and turn from garbage into toxic waste. That we could cast these cares upon you, Father, and that we can leave this teaching this morning lighthearted, knowing that you love us and that when you look at us, all you see is Christ in us, the hope of glory. We thank you for these things, and we praise your holy name. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen.